Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kemli Mukunja speaking live on the Okunja radio station. Welcome back to another episode. Did a little run for you guys. Welcome back to another episode. As usual, how was your day? How was your day, ladies and gentlemen? I hope your day was good. How was the weather? Let's know. Let's start it. Was the weather sunny, rainy, cloudy, windy, blue skies, a mix of two, a mix of three? Was it foggy or was it smoggy? Tell me what the weather did to you. Tell me how the weather made you feel. Was it windy? Did it blow your hat off? Was it sunny? Did it make you sweat? Was it rainy? Did it make you soaked? Was it foggy or smoggy? Did it make your seeing unclear? Tell me, people, let me know. Anyway, guys, I want to know how your day was. How was the weather for you guys today, please? How was the weather? Give me a full weather report, guys. And also, what did you do today? I hope your day was good. What did you do today? You know, did you go out? Did you stay home? Did you eat food? Did you just lounge on? Like I said, did you be a lazy bum today? I did my exercises this morning, guys. Obviously, I also had lesson early in the morning. I studied and then I, you know, had another lesson this evening. And obviously, recording this podcast for you guys. Wink, wink. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you know, what did you do today? What was the vibe for the day? What was the vibe saying for today? Oh my gosh. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, obviously we need to make the vibes on a low. Only just on a low, on a great low. Because like I said, I feel like a lot of people's vibes, obviously have your high vibes, guys, but you know, also have your low vibes where you're calm, you're chill, you're relaxing, you're not stressed, you're just chilling. You know, you're just vibing with life, you know, that kind of thing. I think a lot of people need that. That vibing with life kind of thing, you know. But yeah, how you doing? How you feel? Oh my god, how you doing? How you feel? As the Italians say, come stai. Yeah, how you doing? How you feel? I'm learning my Italian, guys. It's popping up. My speaking is not too good, but you know, we're working on that. Anyway, are you happy, sad, irritated, confused, angry, elated, excited, you know, bursting with life, you know, soulful? What are your feelings for today? And tell me why you have those feelings. Has somebody upset you? Has somebody made you angry? I hope not. You know, has somebody given you your favorite food? Looking at everybody with side eye. You know, has somebody given you your favorite food? Has somebody given you money? Ego. Some serious good money. Oh my gosh. But yeah. How you doing? How you feeling? I also hope you had a lovely, wonderful, chill day with lots of rest, lots of fun, and very little stress. Absolutely always yes. I also hope you ate good food because good food is life. And I also hope you drank a lot of water because hydration is key and very, very much needed. Always listen and always learn. Guys, my day, as I said, my day wasn't much, you know, lesson in the morning, studying, eating, you know, taking a nap, then waking up, lesson in the night, studying, podcast for you guys, wink wink. And yeah, that's basically been it for me today. And obviously we have the part two, the constant, you know, part two. There's gonna be a part three, ladies and gentlemen. There's gonna be a part three. Oh my gosh, there's gonna be a part three of the African household tales. Oh my gosh. And obviously there's more to talk about, there's more to come, and there's, like I said, it's very, very exciting, guys. I'm very happy that you guys are listening and are learning and are speaking to us and are talking and are, you know, genuinely paying attention. It's very, very wonderful. Thank you so much for always doing that, you know. And as I said, there's gonna be a lot of musical recommendations for you. So musical recommendations number one, please get your pens and papers out. Number one, The Only Way Is Up. That is The Only Way Is Up by Martin Garrix. Martin spelled M-A-R-T-I-N, Garrix spelled G-A-R-R-I-X. The Only Way Is Up by Martin Garrix. Then there is Stargazing, the slow and reverb version. Stargazing by Marcelo, that is M-A-R-C-E-L-O, Marcelo de Carlho. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but Marcelo de Carlho, which is D-E, then space, then C-A-R-V-A-L-H-O. De Carlho, no, yeah, not gonna pronounce that again. Then there is also Swimming by Flawed Mangoes, yes, F-L-A-W-E-D, Mangoes. So Swimming by Flawed Mangoes. And there is also another one from Martin Garrix, Forbidden Voices by Martin Garrix. Forbidden Voices by Martin Garrix. There's another one, Time by Tony Ann. Time by Tony Ann. There's another one by Tony Ann, Awakening by Tony Ann. Awakening by Tony Ann. There is one more, Borderlines by Vryl. Borderlines by Vryl. Vryl is spelled V-R-A-E-L-L. V-R-A-E-L-L. And one more I want to chip in for you guys, just for you guys to have it on, is Dopamine End. Dopamine End. That is D-O-P-A-M-I-N-E and E-N-D by Diambu. That is D-I-A-M-B-U. D-I-A-M-B-U. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As I said, we are going into the podcast today. And I lost my track for a bit that second. But it is obviously the African stories continued. African household stories continued. And thank you guys for always being here. Sit back, relax, listen, learn, take out your popcorn, put up your feet, and you know, just enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. Please do enjoy. And please do remember to learn some things, take out some stuff for today, and just have some fun. Have some fun. Invite your friends and families to listen, you know, especially the parents and, you know, the kids, so that we learn from each other. It is an interactive session, a communicative session. So please do. And as always, thank you for letting us in your ears tonight. Goodbye. Gentlemen, as you know, it is in Kimberly Kunja speaking live, and we have the part two of African households and African culture and everything to do with us as African people. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm actually going to be doing something quite new. Even though I am here, I'm going to be letting somebody take the reins, and the person who's going to be taking the reins today is Janice. So anybody who wants to say anything about today's podcast, you got me, Janice, guys. As Jade is our host today, I'm just gonna be sitting back watching, actually answering questions. But so Jade, as you are our host today, before you host, just to, you know, give you a background and remind you guys of what you said. So on what we're gonna be talking about, the rejection
Okay, we're going to be talking about rejection. We're going to be talking about kindness. We're going to be talking about the spiritual aspect of the African culture. We're going to be talking about comparison in all forms. We're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about double standards. We're going to be talking about the body. Let's go, Daddy.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is your host, Jade Sola, speaking. Hi, guys.
It's very interesting.
I'm sorry, I'm new to this. It's my first time, so take it easy on me. Okay, so hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast. This is Jade, your temporary host for this session. It is lovely to, you know, be here again. We were here last time, 2 days ago? We spoke about African parents, what we love, the African culture, what we hate, you know, all that kind of stuff. And like, it got really intense, not intense, intense, but you get me. And we had like, it was getting kind of too long. So we had mercy on you and we decided to do a part two. So welcome to the part two. So yeah, guys, let's talk. Let's start with this. Like, last time, I know we, you know, it was kind of weird at first, but we go into it. So let's, like, get right into it, yeah. Let's start with something very, very deep. Something very, very deep. Something very personal. What is one thing you'd say you hate about your parents?
The stubbornness. The fact they're stubborn.
They're stubborn.
They got no respect for us.
Nah, like, Mama, let's go completely unfiltered.
Before we all talk over each other, let's organize this. Do you understand? Obviously, Gangster was speaking already. Do you understand? So let's allow Gangster to speak. Then obviously tomorrow you're gonna take over next. I wanna say something as well. But it's not about hits. Jade, wait. Calm down.
Okay, not
Gangster,
we'll
go ahead.
Strongly dislike.
No, it's dislike, most definitely. Gangster, go ahead.
The first point, they got no respect for us. Second thing, they think they're better than anything. Like, come on, we're all growing up. It's 2024. Have an open mind. Don't close your mind on that African mentality. Like, we're all adults now. Like, we're not kids no more. I don't think any of us here are kids
at all.
So yeah, that's my point there. I feel they need to start respecting us the way we respect them, and the way they respect their own friends. Because at the end of the day, we see their friends.
The thing about
we're gonna do that friends thing, but anyway.
The thing I feel about that respect thing, yeah, it's so weird because like African parents think that respect is something that's like it's an age thing. How do you guys feel about that? Like the older you are, the more, you know, respected you are. Like you cannot be respected as a young adult or as a child. And like the thing is, once you're their child, yeah, until like you're completely out of their house, I feel like African parents still realize that, this is actually a man now. This is actually a woman. Like, they keep you even as like, what about all these guys that when they get married and their like mothers come to visit, they take over their kitchen or like, that for me is a lack of respect. And that shows, you know, they don't see you as an adult yet.
As I said, you know, the thing is, as I said the last time in our last podcast, I'm so sorry, Tamara, but as I said on our last podcast, you know, the thing is, a lot of African parents see their children as an extension of them, which is true to some certain extent, but at some point, they need to actually let these children go. Do you understand? And it's like I said, as you said, Gangster, about the thing of, you know, parents not respecting their kids. That used to be a thing with, you know, my parents, but eventually they grew out of it, which I'm so grateful and happy about, you know, because we used to butt heads all the time. And the thing was that I was never, like, as in, yes, I opposed, you know, a lot of the time I did it. And what I wanted them to see was that, look, I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. You know, I'm not trying to get you to change your mind. I want you to just see
where I'm coming from, because you are right, but I'm also right. Do you understand? So we could have used either of our ideas. Do you understand? And that was the problem, that they didn't want to see it from my point of view. They wanted to take their own point of view. And the times where they were wrong, you know, they like I said, they glossed over it so quick. Like, why are you glossing over it? You are wrong, though. Do you understand? So it's a thing of what's called, like I said, they have a bit of pride. Not even a bit, you know, but I'm not saying that. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. Do you understand? It is what it is to some certain extent. And I feel like African parents need to, you know, understand that, yes, the pride is good to some certain extent, but there needs to be a level at which it stops, you know? There truly needs to be a level at which it stops, because as much as also respect goes, you know, the children need to be respected as well. As you said, you know, the mother coming into the son's home and then taking over the kitchen, nah, man, that is a lack of respect. You know, that is a lack of very, very serious respect that needs to be given. You know, the thing is that I personally, like I said, I got to the stage where I was just tired of it, you know, and I had to do this thing with my parents where I treated them like children. And every single time when, you know, they would be like, oh yeah, this, I had to sit them down. Like I said, I sat them down like children every single time. So I think they got sick and tired of me always coming to come and meet them as far. Mommy and daddy, you see now, this is not nice now, this is what you did wrong. Every single time they did, I made sure to do it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So are you know, like as in, when you keep meshing on your parents for something, angry and irritated, they don't want that thing to happen again. So after a while, they started to understand that I'm not going to let up on it until they stop. Do you understand? And eventually they did. And now I'm very, very happy because I can now sit down and have a conversation with my mom and dad where, as in, you know, I can speak my opinion, you know, and they can state their opinion and we can mesh it together, you know, or they can take my opinion for what it is and if I'm correct. Do you understand? And I'm so happy we have reached that point because it took time to get here. It took about almost like 2 years and some. Do you understand? For me to get here, but it took its time and it happened. Do you understand? So it's I feel like, as in, at some point, what needs to happen is that the children as well need to understand that as much as your parents are growing, yeah, you can treat them like children and start to teach them. You understand? No, I'm being so for real. Treat them like children and start to teach them in that sense. And then, you know, it's not like as if you have to say it in a disrespectful way. No.
Yeah.
Use playful, loving attitude as for, mommy, daddy, now, is that fair? You see what you're doing, it's not nice. So every single time that they do it, attack it immediately. Do you understand? So it becomes a subconscious thing in their mind where they understand that, look, I cannot keep doing this. You get, and you know, African parents, they get irritated easily. So with that thing, do you understand? They would want to get it off their back as quick as possible. And because of that, they would eventually stop. It will take time, I can't lie to you, but they would eventually stop.
All right, I have a question.
Yeah.
What advice would you give for people, like, if you want people to do this? You know, not all parents are the same. Some parents have, like, zero tolerance. Like, if you try to correct me or if you try to say something, like, almost it's followed up by slap.
That used to be, like I said, I won't say it was always followed up by slap, but it was always followed up by, you don't respect me. Is that what you want to say? Your mommy does not mean it. Your daddy does not mean. No, you see what I used to do? It is to use style. It is always to use style. Do you understand? Be corny with it. You can't just go outside, mommy, daddy, it's not that. Go and sit down where they are staying, just as far as they are watching a movie or whatever, they are just finished being irritated with you. They've eaten, do you understand? Or they've done something and they've calmed down, they've relaxed more. You can't meet them. Hey, mommy and daddy, it's not fair now. You want you started than me for, is it nice? Eh? You want to do your first daughter like that, is it good? Eh? You don't know me, so I'm still a small girl, I'm still learning. Eh? You do like that, you fake cry small. You do me, you don't want to love me again. You don't do like you love me again. Who's whining and whine them? No, how to do this thing, just whine them where they go fall.
Alright, fair enough.
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Alright, so I actually agree with what Kem said, but the reason I even agreed with it was because of something else entirely. back to what I hated about my parents was because, well, for my mom, she was so nosy.
She was what?
Dislike, because she was nosy, very nosy.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a very big one.
They wanna know all the knowables in the world.
Let me tell you why that was a very big thing with me, because I've always been the one that loved MySpace, and she was nosy into it, and it made me react. And the reason I even react about being in MySpace was also trauma that she had imputed on me.
Thank you, don't blame those. Jesus.
But it's a back and forth thing. But as I sat down and I thought about this, especially when you said about pride, it came to me and realized that the reason why they acted like that, Jade, going back to your question before, the reason why they believe that wisdom comes with age is because there was really no form of premium information gathering and retrieval during their time. Most of our parents are like in their 40s, 50s. Back then, phones weren't as big. They weren't like, as common as before. So where you get your... I know you're... Like, let me just finish something about that. It was that if you wanted to meet somebody that was wise, it's also a tradition thing. Every king was old. Every elders were elders. Elders were people that you meant for consultation. And there was no real rebellious individual. Let's say, there was a rebellious person that would show that it's not about age.
Yeah.
It's actually about wisdom. But that never came in until the advent of internet and technology. Because when you have that kind of way to gather information, they didn't believe it as wisdom for kids. They believed it as intelligence. So that's where they push you into school. So when you're intelligent, some parents would now believe that intelligence is wisdom. Some would just say, Nabuki Sabi, you know Sabi life.
That's true.
But that's what I just want to say. But President, you said that you disagree.
I disagree at the same time. No, I agree with certain aspects, but at the same time, I feel like it's not really about internet stuff like that, because cool. Afro is more about generation wise. What I mean by that is more about
an exposure.
I get what you mean, but at the same time, let's deeper like this. I feel like, cool, if they actually wanted respect for themselves, they would have fought for the respect the way we fight for our respect in this generation. And I don't feel like it's because of the internet that we are fighting for the respect. Because we see it out there the way us kids get treated by our African parents. But at the same time, we need to think that's the way they got treated too. So they just got built to accept it and continue. But our generation is like, nah, man, all of us deserve respect. So that's what I disagree. So it's not more about, because I've seen this on the internet, kids fighting their parents for respect. Nah, it's not like that. We just seen it as equality, if you get what I mean. Because at the same time, we're human beings. We're not just their kids, we're human beings. So the same way they don't want to get disrespected or spoken some certain way, the same way we wouldn't like it too. I can use my dad as an example. My dad hates the father, or if something goes on, if he's angry, we can't say nothing in the house. He's doing all right. And I'm like, cool, you said your point. Why can't I not say my point now? I just finished listening to you shouting at me for a good 20 minutes telling me what I did was wrong, but you're not trying to get my point. So what's the point of the conversation? It's not even a conversation. It's like a one man speak, and the other person just has to say, "Okay, I'm sorry."
And you know,
I want to add something in that a little bit. He just activated one putback that my dad used to say about me. It was that, can I not say my point? What point? Your point is too blunt for you to even give me.
That I was. Hey, Jesus.
That's it. Hold on. Your point is useless.
No. It's not even your point is useless. When I want to say a point, is like, as in, it's like, what? So what you want to say now is more relevant than what I'm saying.
Yes.
I mean, what I'm talking is rubbish. Yes. Okay, now, if what I'm talking is rubbish, you want to talk, talk. say what you want to say, and they would, what's going on? You can't say anything because obviously you know, already know that they are angry. You understand? Mm. And when you now not say anything, it's not that, oh yeah, now that you are quiet, what have you said now? What have you brought us to this conversation? Okay, fine. Tell, let you be quiet. Let me finish talking. So they now keep speaking. And the thing is that, you know, you then have to wait. And then the opposite now always happens is where you not, they will not ask you, oh, you have nothing to say. I'm like, I have nothing to say because every single time I try to speak, you shut me down. Do you understand? So I wait until you are calm before I speak to you. Not that I'm speaking to you now, because if I speak to you now, you will ignite. I don't want to ignite bullets.
You're nice. Let's talk about this. Me, I will send my own back at the same time. Excuse me, I don't have that strength.
I genuinely don't have that mental energy to be arguing back and forth.
That's always told you guys that I'm stubborn. Like I said on the part one, I said I'm the black sheep of that family. I'm stubborn. I don't really care if, you know, if they're gonna feel some type of way. I've learned the hard way that if I don't say my mind, forget. Don't come and ask me the day after, because I'm not gonna say nothing.
It's not the day after, it's just a few hours later.
Even if my parents will never come the few hours after. They even tell you to go and do something for them. They know that they're the one that got you pissed off.
For me, with my mom, it's like, oh, she's done something. I want to say something. And she lets me. She genuinely lets me talk. And I say my piece. But it's like, there's always another point. There's always her point of view. And her point of view is always like, you know, why can't you see it from this way? Is it that you're not grown up? You don't want to think ahead. You want to remain a child forever. I'm like,
you know the woman, you know,
did
funny
you
thing?
Not hear anything I said?
You know what they do? Do you know what they do? I want you to grow up. Eh? And then when you start speaking like a grown-up, they want you to keep quiet and start talking like a child.
Like, and I'm like, you can't do.
I can't be both. You either want me to be your child,
double standard.
Or you honestly, let's go into double standard. You either want me to be your child, or you want me to act like an adult. You have to pick one. And I had to make my parents choose. You know, it was a hard decision, but I had to make them choose. Hello, you've been quiet. You have to speak to. Come and stop.
I'm literally just about to call her.
I'm just observing. I'm
listening. No, don't observe. Come on.
Guys, just continue. I'll pick.
Oh, hello, me. I have a question for you. Mm. Like, you know, growing up in a different environment than us, Edo was born and raised in Canada.
That is true. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's actually give it some contrast. A lot of people would, regardless of how your parents have treated them, would rather still be raised by, like, you know, African parents than white parents, like our Caucasian brothers and sisters. What are your thoughts? Like, you know, you've obviously seen, like, you've had white friends, you've known how their parents have treated them. Like, what is the difference culturally? Like, what are the do's and don'ts? Like, would you say it's like a better parenting system?
Me, I didn't have a conversation to you, my friends and my partner. Like, what's it called? Like, I wouldn't, like, I don't really know if it's still like around. Like, okay, African parents, you know how they discipline kids by beating them. Compared to white people, their discipline is gentle parenting, which I want to do, where it's just talking to them, you get? Like saying, oh, you're grounded, don't do this. Also, that's like that type of parenting I wanted when I was growing up. Like, that's the type of thing that I wanted to follow. And all that, like, that was something I always like wanted instead of the beating discipline, because that stuff, like, every time I would get that, it was usually like, what's it called, I know, like, so I remember when I went to Nigeria for vacation for 3 months, like, what's it called, I was like a rebel, not a rebel, but like everybody hates getting beaten. So like in Canada, like if we got beaten, we usually pack our things, walk outside, all that stuff, you know. And then when you're in Nigeria, I remember
so you do what, sorry, you pack your stuff and go.
I go outside.
If you like, stand outside your gate. The neighbors will see you. They'll call your parents and tell them you're outside. In Nigeria, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, Elo, to cut you, it's but okay. it's not even should I help you unpack, it is that, do you need a ride to the airport? Have you been told that? Do you need a ride to the airport?
Do you want a business flight to Nigeria? Straight flight.
No, whoa. My friends and family, I can't forget the time I literally walked out of my house because I was so pissed at my parents. You see, that day, I went back because when you go out and people start, you see people that are looking for, what's it called? Unsuspecting children. Yeah, it's very real. And it is very dangerous. When I saw, when I had my first brush with him, because he was actually moving closer to me, I was carrying like this, this backpack I used to carry in secondary school. It was not like, the words this man was telling me was that, where are you going? Do you know where your mom is? Do you know where that? Like, I'm just leaving my family's house. And I didn't know shit, yeah. I'll run up the story real quick. So long story short, this man was not trying to touch me, trying to say, okay, let me take you to your parents. Knowing really well, this man, this man doesn't know where my parents live.
Hey, I'm what I was to touch you.
Run, man!
Run!
I dashed so fast. Bro, I went back to my house and said, mother, father, thank you.
Yeah, bro, that's another thing. That's another thing I feel like we should be grateful for as kids. Yeah. Like, being raised in strict households, like, you're, like, made very aware about the dangers of life. They don't sugarcoat it. They don't, like...
They
tell you why, or I don't want you to go outside past this time. I don't want you walking on the street. And they let you
know. To some certain...
Like, you know what? To some extent, Jado, you're right. Yeah. It brings out the worst in kids out, let's be honest.
Yeah.
No, let me as Gangster just said, you know, it brings out the worst in kids in some cases when the parent is too strict. Do you understand? It is when the parent is too strict. As Elu said about the gentle parenting, do you understand? My dad was the one that mainly gentle parented me. Do you understand? My dad only beat me 4 times ever in my life. Do you understand? And I genuinely deserved it. Because I had done something very, very stupid. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I genuinely deserved it. You know? So, with all that was said, yeah, my dad was like, look, every time I would do something wrong, he would sit me down and he would say, look, come. I want you to come here. He would sit me down and he'd say, okay, now, what you've done, is it right? Okay. If it is not right, could you have done something else? Okay. Now that you've not done something else, what are the cause and effects of this? Okay. Now, the cause and effects of this, how has it affected you? Okay. Has your brain rewired down finally? And with all those questions you're asking, you could just believe yourself, feel like as if you're like somebody who has no sense in this life at all. That, I can't lie, that gentle parenting thing really worked on my brain. It really, really did.
But not all the time.
Not all the time.
Let's not underplay the power.
Let's not sugarcoat this thing. Because the parent, my mom was the one that beat. And the beating got to me when I know that I did something wrong. Mm-hmm. But it was when she beat for something unnecessary. And I genuinely, like I said, it was genuinely just a very small mistake. It's not like as if I did this intentionally. It was a small mistake. And that happened quite often than not. Do you understand? That was that often, that little mistake of something that I would do, you know, is happened more often than it, you know, when I did actually do something wrong. You know, and when she would now beat me, it would now be like as if, you know, you're just beating me for fancy at that time. Do you understand? If I know I did not do anything wrong, you're beating me for fancy. But if I did something wrong, I would cry. You understand? But if I didn't do anything wrong, you're beating me for party. You know, because I'm not feeling anything. You know, it's not paining you. And the thing is that they will beat so much up to the point where you're like, is this my parents anymore? Did they just say
real? I feel like they tend to just react. They're so reactive.
Yes, you're so right on that. And it's so quick to just I say you're so right to that, and they're so quick to jump to like, if I beat you, or stuff like that. Like, you just like thinking, like, well, I just said one thing to you, and I'm trying to make you understand something, and the answer straight back, like, if I catch you now, your ancestors, your grandmother will know that it's me that gave birth to you, bro. Okay, cool. Like, who else will give birth to me?
Like, okay, fine. That's calm. Like, all that thing is like good and all, but when you start getting. Imagine getting slapped continuously and they are saying, don't let me slap you.
Have I not beaten you? Have I even touched you? Are you calling me slap? Have I touched you?
They are beating you, and then after beating, no, like as in during the process of beating you, they are saying, "I will give you something to cry about." If I hear him, you will hear me.
Why are you crying? I haven't touched you yet. Are you crying? What do you mean I haven't touched you?
I'll bring a bucket for you.
You're crying now. Come and feed the bucket.
My own. They told me. They told me that if you want, I can bring a whole. I can bring the ocean to you. I will bring it to the ocean. You will fill it up. You will help God and do what's called harvesting of water. I say, hey.
You got to, have you guys?
Now let's talk about the harvesting. Okay, no, present. Go on.
No, I was gonna say, have you guys ever got to a point that your parents got tired of being here and they started doing punishment?
Ah, yes.
When I mean,
bro, I feel like bro, for, me, bro, for me, like for me, it was punishment
was the precursor to beating.
Sorry.
Go on.
Like mine was, they'll tell you to like. Do you guys know what stripping down is?
Yes, sir.
So basically, you touch the floor. So you strip down if you get it. If you don't, go Google it.
You're
picking ahead. So that's what you do. And as you're picking the pin, they'll start. My mom flogging me. Why? If you accidentally shift, or you kneel down, raise up your and close your eyes. If your hands touch, slap. If you like, you know when you're kneeling and you sit on your legs, if you do that, slap. If you lean on the chair or anything, come slap. You get it.
I know Charlie's here. Sorry, guys.
Have you guys done the kneeling down one and then, you know, you now carry in something in your hand as per chair? You carry something in your hand.
That's nothing.
Like, no, you don't even carry it. Like, put your hands in front of you. Yeah, I'm Yoruba.
Yes. Yeah, Charlie, have you ever heard this one? Beremugari. That punishment is the worst.
That was my grandma.
Just doing that punishment for you now, and that punishment is just says you're squatting, and if you bend lower than a certain degree, you're getting flogged. If you move by a certain degree, you're getting flogged.
Bike now, bike man.
That one is they call it riding a bike.
Yeah, now bike man, sit on the wall.
No, which wall? You're not standing.
No, not on the wall. Like there's nothing behind you. There's nothing in front of you. Your hands are outstretched.
You are joking.
And you're staying in that position for a straight one. Now, if you move by yourself, I collected beats in my life.
Let's talk about the way the punishments of parents. Yeah, the punishment African parents did prepared all. Okay, I don't think many of you. I think only me and Jade can say that. Okay, African schools. Teacher punishment, it doesn't cause as much of a problem. Have any of you been punished by a teacher by a beginning?
No.
They didn't really punish in the schools I went to. The most they'll do is they'll give you a dip. We had the merit arts, so I can't really be in that
my
regard.
That they beat small. My secondary school, nobody beat us.
Primary school. I got the only time I think I got like punished was when I didn't bring communication. And then they used to assign rules A, B, C, D, and E. I'm obviously getting flogged. So like on Friday nights, I used to wear like 3 boxers and I'm giving my communication books to my mom. It was like setting for me. But like that was the most. I was a relatively
kid. I didn't
have. I wasn't very.
And like, I don't know why. So sometimes they want to find their problems.
Like, I'm a very good kid. I don't go out. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't have bad friends. I don't go see anybody pregnant. I don't do drugs. I don't do fraud. Like, I am a very good kid. But you should honestly. I mean, do you know what my mates are doing? Are you yelling at me? Sometimes it is insane.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I you know, sometimes I like, okay, so this comes to the comparison thing now. Thank God we've moved into it. You know, the thing about comparing, my parents used to compare me to friends and other cousins and family and even my siblings sometimes. And I decided to show them something. Do you understand? At this point, I had just come to the UK, and I had done well in all my other subjects except for home economics. Do you understand?
aka food tech. That's what they call it, food tech here. And food tech was, like I said, it was a good subject, but it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't something I was passionate about. And because of that, I got a C on it. Do you understand? And obviously, my parents were not happy. They started comparing me to a friend of mine from my secondary school who is still doing well to this day. And I had to explain to them that I hope they know that this friend smokes. She is around. Hold on. She smokes, she sleeps around. You know, and not only does she sleep around, she has three children with three different men.
Jesus.
You know, so do they want me to go ahead and be like her in other ways as well?
Yeah, but
you know?
You just did the same thing they do.
Pardon?
You just did the same thing they do, though. Yeah, let's be honest,
that's
guys.
The double standard.
She just compares.
Yeah, well,
I mean, to be fair, that is justified, you know, because like, if you're going to compare in all regards, you should compare in all regards.
If you're comparing in all regards, you should compare in all.
Can I talk about this here? About the comparison thing. I think why everyone hates the comparison is when it becomes, you know, this person is just putting up an act. I know how bad this person is. Don't compare him. I told this thing to my mom. The exact thing that Inkem did there, I told her about my friends. See, if you know what my friends do to their parents, to the people they talk to, you will call me a saint. And then it was all about, I think for us, yeah, the comparison is always going to happen. And I take it as that. It's always going to happen.
Yeah.
If they don't tell you, they will show you. If they don't show you, you will just see the signs.
Yeah.
And that's something we should actually be okay with. Because sometimes, I won't say be okay as, but it's a good thing. I would just say like, is that slightly necessary evil? Because you are so pissed that you want... For me, it was something that fought with me that I will show you how good I am. Just to make you understand that that person you're comparing me to isn't anything.
Oh, you know what? You're good. I was the opposite.
Ah.
What I mean by that, like, when they compare me to somebody they know that I know a person that is doing bad, I will show them what bad is. That's me. And the reason why I did that, because no matter, I was like, it's cool. I was a bad kid, but at the same time, I knew my stuff, like, I knew my books and all that. But the fact that you're comparing me to somebody else, it just proves to me that like, you don't trust me or you don't believe I can do stuff. So I'll just show them, like, cool, like, I'll do my stuff, but at the same time, I'll show you that what these kids are doing to their parents that you don't know, I will show you personally what they're doing. If you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
For example, I was like, this is what happened. My dad was comparing me with my cousin, and my cousin in the press was like, no, this guy will go out late, his parents will complain and that. And I start showing my dad, cool. I go on my A's and B's, right? I'll leave the house at 10 p.m. I'll come back the day after.
Mm.
And he'd be like, oh, you're not... I'm like, check my result. I'm passing everything. I'll do what I want now. Since to them, education was the key to everything. I used against them the most.
Nah.
The funny thing is that... another thing about that thing, they compared me. This was like, as in, this was the last time they compared me, though. But the other one I told you, this one was the last time. So what happened was that they were comparing me to this other girl, you know, that was in my uni and they had met and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, no problem. I would, you know, because me and her, we talk. We're not friends, but we talk. Do you understand? And I told, you know, I just casually walked inside their room. As I was talking to her, you know, as she was telling me about all the drinking that she had done, all the parties she had done, all the this one that she had done, all the that one that she had done, you know, and I just let them listen. And I was just talking, you know, and I was just seeing how their face was changing. And I was like, So I just want to let you know that I'm not a bad person. Yes, I do some things. Yes, I'm stubborn. Do you understand? In some certain aspects. Very, very true. I'm not arguing that one. But you see some people that you are comparing me to, they are not good people. They are not good people.
I have a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have your parents ever made you feel like that the way they compare you made you more stubborn or more humble?
Pardon?
No, most of them.
You know the way your
comparison made me angry.
The comparison made me angry, and not only angry, it made me, you know, it made me, what's this thing called now? How would I say it? It made me very, very insecure, you know? Made me very insecure, so yeah.
My comparison was mostly with my sister at one point. She'd be like, oh, your sister is doing this, why can't you do like this? You want to be like your father? Like, those are the only two people my mom would compare me to, my sister and my father. And I sat my mom down, I'm like, mom, I don't like this. And now every other chance she gets, she'll be like, oh, but you're doing this, but you say you don't want me to compare you to somebody. I'm like, that is not what I spoke to you. Stop this. Like, I don't know what it is with African parents and like accusing what you have said. You've been vulnerable with them one time. And
it is against you.
Now, yes. Why?
You see
like
that
it.
Thing of using things against you, you know. I did it with my parents at one point, back and forth, you know. Anything they used against me, I used against them as well. And eventually they got the message. They actually got the message. Obviously I got punished a lot, but they got the message and they stopped. I won't advise anybody to do it. Do you understand? Well, I would say if it works for you,
don't do
me.
That, guys.
You know what? Anybody listening out there, if you're an African parent or
you
know this podcast to your African parents, please, you know, answer this question. Why do you parents compare us to other siblings or people? I want to know their perspective. I actually trying to understand them. See, now I don't understand why they do it. Because they know that person.
Oh, President, I can give an answer to that, funny enough. An answer to that. The answer is, it's very convoluted, is that they want you to do better. They think it will bring competition.
I feel like it brings more anger, especially between siblings.
It breeds jealousy, irritation, and it breeds hate.
That's
the thing. Because a lot of people were thinking that if you bring, what was this word? If two lions are, if two lions want to get above each other, they must fight. That's the thing. So it has to be, they think conflict and competition will bring success. So they are bringing conflict and competition. But the thing is that, well, they don't realize that human beings are now a lot more complex than animals. The ways we see animals work on instinct is a lot different. Animals compete because that's the thing in them. They must fight or flight, fight or die. But us, we are more complex. We are softer. We don't have to die if we don't fight. So there will be other responses that will come with that. Maybe disappointment, resentment, anger. And a lot of times we're more passive aggressive. So this is to every budding African parent out there. Please stop comparing your children.
It's not nice.
Because
we don't like
you
it.
You will find generational battles.
This is in capital. Parents, listen.
Both the comparer and the comparee.
Yes, because I lost a friend because of that comparison thing.
Damn.
Yo.
I've lost friends of that comparison thing. He was tired. This is a whole, like, I mean, he's so rest in peace because it was his parents kept comparing him to his brother, to his brother, to his brother every single time. Now his brother was actually the worst kind of person, but he was like pretending to be the nicest guy. So every single time the comparison would come from there, and then he tried to do what his brother did. He went into like the drug era, the drug aspect, and like on his first job, he got run over.
When they found out,
because it wasn't the funny part, the brother was the one that brought him into it. When his brother told me, I was so pissed because he was just like, the way he looked at his brother, all he said was, I'm just trying to be like you because mom and dad want me to be like you.
Wow. You see, African parents, what you caused into us. I feel like that's what caused. No, let's be honest. That's what caused mental health to us African kids.
Yeah.
Stuff like that will cause us to have mental health problem or to have.
Actually, let's talk about that next. Let's talk about the stigma with mental health and African parents. Why is it so?
You're not depressed. There's a demon inside of you.
Yes. Let me take you to church. Let me pray for you. Get closer with God. When you're friends with God, there's nothing like mental illness. He will heal you. He will make you happy. You can find joy in church.
go for discipleship, go for midweek service.
Let me,
it's because you're not praying enough.
Let me give you guys a story. Now, this is very, very personal. But yeah. So basically I was depressed for a long time and I seriously needed, like I said, I was trying to find a way out of it. Do you understand? I did horrible things, but I was trying to find my way out of it. Now, it's not like I said I had not been praying. Do you understand? I had been praying, but I also needed to speak to someone. Do you understand? I had, to the extent that I had actually gotten myself a therapist online, and you know, I was paying with that person with my own money, you know, money that I'd worked for. My parents didn't know anything about it, and I was healing. Do you understand? I wasn't healed, but I was healing. And at some point, when I told my mom, because obviously a lot of things were going wrong and a lot of stuff were happening. And when I told my parents, do you understand? Because it was in a heated argument, and I told my parents. And when I told my parents, what happened was that, first of all, my dad looked at me, and then he just turned his eyes away. Then my mom looked at me, and then she laughed. And I utterly shut down. You know, and from that day, I know that they saw a change. Because I was trying to tell them and explain to them what was going on, you know, because they had always been saying, because the thing is, because they were always using things against me, you know, I didn't want to say anything. And at the time when I finally wanted to talk, they didn't want to hear me speak, you know, and the time when my completely shut down, do you understand? And so I decided that, okay, fine. If it's mute that you want, it's mute that you're going to get. Do you understand? And I completely turned new in every aspect, whether it was calling them. I rarely called. Like I said, I was calling once every 2 months. That was what I was doing, because obviously I was here in the UK, you know, so I was calling once every 2 months. I would what's it called, if they sent money, I would text back and thank you. If they tried to call me, I wouldn't pick up, you know, anything to do with school. I was, obviously they were paying school fees and stuff like that, but anything, if I didn't understand, I didn't go to my parents for advice. I was going to friends and other counselors and other people like that. Do you understand? So to all the parents who are listening, do you understand? I'm telling you very, very seriously, mental health is a very bad and horrible thing that has been criticized and, you know, subjugated and pushed back so much in the African society, and it needs to honestly be looked at. You know, obviously now my parents have come around, thank God. Do you understand? But I understand, yes, you're saying that God helps, which is very true. God does help. God, but sometimes your children need you to actually listen. We need that listening ear. We need that help. We need you to be there for us, because our emotions are high. We are still growing and we're still trying to form our own things, and our emotions are high, and we need you to sit down and talk to us when we are, what's called, when we are in a good sense of state, you know. And when we're trying to talk to you, don't say, oh yeah, you know, God is just gonna fix it or this or that. No, let us talk to you and understand what we are saying, you know. Don't try to classify and group us and say that whatever. Mm-mm. Just listen and understand, because that listening ear can save your child so much trauma and pain, you know, can save your child so much trauma and pain. Because what essentially happens is that you essentially make that child feel like as if the child has no need to matter, no need to exist, you know. Essentially, that's what happens in the mind of the child. The child feels like they have no need to exist. You know, and that's when the contemplations of, trigger warning, guys, but that's when the contemplations of suicide come in. Do you understand? That's when the contemplations of a lot of other things, harmful things,
running away.
It's horrible. You know, so please, 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 as much as, yes, you might not understand sometimes. Do you understand? Parents, I know you might not understand sometimes, which is totally fair, totally understandable. You know, but please at least do listen to your children, because we are trying to communicate, we're trying to let you know, you know. And please do not laugh in our faces, because that utterly shatters the heart of the child. You know, the child wants comfort and wants understanding, and you give it laughter and mockery. That disseminates the child. But anyway, yeah.
For me, I also wanted to say something real quick. I'll make it very, very short. Mm. For parents who are listening as well, like, it's not just other people. It might be happening in your house. It might be happening to your kids. You don't know what's going on in their heads. For me personally, like, I feel like at least 80% of African children have had like suicidal thoughts at least one time.
Spies.
For me, I was going through some things, and like obviously my mom and I, we don't have that type of relationship that I can't tell her anything. I don't know. For me, like growing up, it was a very judgy kind of environment, but good. Anyways, for me, like there was someone in my church who attempted suicide, and like he got talked out of it. And like when I got home, my mom was also there talking to him. You know, I was like, oh wow, maybe I can actually talk to my mom. That's what was running through my head. And then I got home, and it was like, she was like, oh, you see that child? You see what's going on? You feel like I'm between like this, like I don't know what's wrong with children these days. You told you to think, all that kind of stuff. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, okay. We can hear you.
All that kind of stuff. I like that for me. Like it was like, oh, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just gonna do my thing. Be quiet. I'm gonna move on. And eventually, I did get help. I went to uni. I started seeing someone, but still, like till date. Not my mom doesn't know, not my family members know, not my close, like only my really, really close friends know. And yeah, that's basically what I wanted to say. Don't, in as much as your child has not spoken to you about something, don't talk about other people. Like it cannot be your problem.
Yeah, like as if it can't happen to your child.
Mm.
You know,
it's pride, it's a certain sense of pride even. And I want to take a step back from this topic and talk about something that Jade put on the presence of a relationship that helped him with his own life. I want to talk to you guys, ask a question. Mm-hmm. How did it affect your relationships, the whole African like upbringing?
Oh man.
Can I go first?
Yes, please.
Yes, you have the biggest flaw.
One of my longest relationships was an 8 years relationship, and that's the mother of my daughter. At the start was a bit hard because in your head you see your parents the way they behave in it. I feel like we didn't see love growing up. And what I mean by that, some African parents don't really show love to each other, or the way they show love is insult. And let's be honest, some people might like, some people might not, but at the same time, I feel like African parents need to show love to their kids, to show how they're supposed to get loved and how they should show love. As a kid, you might be showing love the same way, but it didn't help our relationship. I don't feel like it helped my relationship at the start and stuff like that. I had to learn how to love by myself, what the meaning of love is. I was not taught by my parents. So I feel like African parents should actually find a way to teach their kids what's the meaning of love, what's the meaning of loving somebody, and what's the meaning of loving yourself. Because the way people spoke to you, they didn't show us love, how to love ourselves. I feel like we were more downgraded.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you guys think?
I feel like they had this mentality that I pay your school fees, I give you rent, I give you a house to live under, I give you clothes, I give you food, I take you wherever you want to go, that's enough, that's the end of my obligation. I provide for all your physical needs. And they forget like there are also mental and emotional needs as well. It's not just physical and spiritual.
Yes.
Bro, Elo, you've been so quiet throughout this podcast.
The way you said they give you like how to provide this and that. Like I will never forget. Like I remember I got my first boyfriend. I was like, okay, you know, I was like, let me tell my mother, because my dad's cool, because he's younger than my mom just by a few years, so he's more chill, laid back. But when it got time to tell my mother, I remember my man at the time, like my first boyfriend, he bought me shoes, he gave me money. I went to go show my mom, and she was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, my boyfriend gave it to me. It was like my Christmas gift. This woman started crying. She's like, is this what I brought you to Canada for? Do I not give you money? Why are you giving my boyfriend? What am I not providing for you? I'm so confused. She's like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this? My own child went to go get a boyfriend. He's about to be focusing in school. Why? She's just crying all over. I literally had to go break up with him. Because she's like, you're not going to live under my roof. Get boyfriend is gifting you this. When I'm here, I provide for you. Why do you need boyfriend now? You're focusing on your education. I was like, ah. I was like, never had a relationship until I was 19. That's when I started getting serious. And I told her, I'm like, you know, I'm an adult. I'm in uni. Once I got to uni, I started being independent. I was like, let me do what I want to do. But when I was in her room, I was like, she was like, no, this is what you're doing, da da da. Because she would cry, she would tell her friends, like, look at what my child is doing, she's punishing me.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, ah. That's why I don't tell her anything. I was like, I go to my dad, he's more chill relaxed. He's like, as long as I meet the guy, he treats you right, you still focus on your books, that's good. My mom's like, no, they're a distraction. What are you doing? I provide for you. You don't need a man.
You know what they say there, Lo? I feel like the since I was saving that us that I said us you know so saving that African parent made, right? I feel like the reason they say that is that's the mistake they made. So I feel like it's just fair to them that we will make the same mistake. But I feel like if they just speak to us and make us understand the mistake they made, all this will never happen to us.
The thing is,
we making life will not happen.
You see, the thing it's about sometimes it's about pride. You know, because they don't want to show us that they've been weak in the past. Do you understand? So that is one thing. Then also speaking about the fact that, you know, like as in, I understand the dating thing because I did not tell I had anything to do with boys until I was well at the age. Because you see, yeah. I knew that if I said anything, my parents were gonna flip. I knew that one for a fact. I knew that they were gonna flip. And I was not about to, you know, get that shouting and that, you know, anger thrown at me. I was not about to get that. Do you understand? So, whatever boyfriend I had at those times, my parents did not know one lick until I was ready to sit them down and tell them. Obviously, my parents were not happy when I told them. Do you understand? But they had to, you know, they had to take it because it had already happened. You get what I mean? So, one thing I want to say to African parents as well is that, look, I understand that, okay, fine, you don't want us to have boyfriends and girlfriends in, you know, secondary school and dating and whatever. That is completely understandable, as in we need to focus on our books and other things. We get that. That one we're not disputing, you know. Education is very necessary and very needed, and we need to keep ourselves in check. But one thing I need to ask you is that, why is it that it is now when we are not talking to men or we're not talking to women, you know, you start asking us certain questions, as in, are we in the rainbow? Are we in the rainbow? Are we part of the rainbow? It's not even just, are we part of the rainbow? It is also the fact that there is now the question of, you know, when is your boyfriend or your husband? When is your husband coming to the house? And I'm like, how did we get to husband when you told me that if I ever touch a man, that there will be fire on the mountain because the man's hand will burn me?
You know what's funny? After my first relationship, all that happened, we broke up, this and that. I started speaking to somebody that a few years down the line in there. And they asked the same question that you just said. They asked me, innit? And I've been speaking with this person for like over a year. So one day I just came, I have a girl. Remember you're asking me this question, this and that. Oh, I have a girl. I just told them, I'm like, you're asking me questions. Now you're going to collect the answer. If you don't like it, that's your business. Next time, don't ask me questions you don't want to know. Sometimes they ask questions. They don't want to know the answer. But why they're asking the question? That's what I don't get. African parents out there, why do you ask questions that you don't want to know the answer for? Question mark.
I understand rhetorical questions, but there are some questions that you don't make it rhetorical. Like, as in, they don't make it rhetorical. And that's why I'm like, do you want me to answer the question or not? Like, I don't understand. What do you want me to do? You know?
Oh.
African parents, man.
Wait, I this show has gone on. We're gonna definitely gonna do a part three. Stay tuned. I told you we're gonna make this thing a series. But before we go, we didn't talk about the body, we didn't talk about religion. Now we have a new topic, the LGBTQ in the African society. We'll talk about all that. And but finally, the last topic of discussion before we round up, let's talk about how, you know, the how that puts it out, how over strictness, no, like how African parents, what's the word, guys? You know, when your parents are too strict,
I don't know,
too controlling.
Like overly strict.
You know, constrictive.
Yeah, overly strict, yes. Yeah, let's talk about how that influences us, how that, you know, hinders our development, how it.
That's what made me. That's what made me the cancer that I am right now. See, the fact that my dad was so strict with me, it made me the rebellious kid that I am right now. That
exactly.
No matter what they say to me, I do what I want. Like, that's my mentality. I'm like, as a kid, you didn't want me to do what I want. Now that I'm grown up, I will do what I want. I don't really care what you're telling me. I will happily do what I want.
What did you do? What that made me... Sorry, gangster. Sorry to cut you off. I just want to quickly say this. What that made me do, yeah, the overly, you know, strict method of, you know, things like that. What that made me do, it just made me a very, very good liar. Obviously, now I have... Do you understand? But I became the best liar known to man. Nobody could find... I was either snipping off the people who were either involved in the lie, you know, making sure to delete numbers. My parents were looking for numbers in their phone and they weren't finding it, you know, or I was making sure that, you know, like I said, things weren't the way that they were supposed to be. And I was putting the thing, you know, when they say gaslighting, I was gaslighting like a pro and I didn't know what it meant. You know, I was gaslighting in the sense that I was making sure that, you know, I made you think that it was your own idea to do this certain thing and you were confused. And then I would now be like, oh, but then mommy, you know, did it. That was what I was doing. So please, I understand parents, yeah, you want to be strict on your kids. That's perfectly fine. But you see, yeah, sometimes when you be overly strict, that child becomes the best liar that has ever lied in this kind of it.
Exactly.
Okay, me personally, mine was so bad. Like, I lived in estates, like, right from birth. Like, I haven't lived in anywhere rural. I haven't lived anywhere dangerous. I haven't lived anywhere sketchy. However, even to leave my house, to, like, literally, I want to buy biscuit from the mala. I'm like, no, not possible. In secondary school, my mom used to own a school and, like, fridge. In secondary school, up until, like, year 9 towards year 10, after school, the school bus would come and pick me up and, like, they would drive me to the crèche. Like, I would literally stay there. I could not stay home alone. Like, I had to stay in the crèche and wait for my mom to finish work and come and pick me. So, literally, my mates were, like, hanging out, going for concerts, and I was watching Barney with, like, two years old. Like, bro, it was so bad. And I know this for a fact. And, like, I know, like, now I am the best kid possible to my mom. She thinks of me in the best light, but in reality, man, like, I don't know, man, it's just weird. And even my sister now, she thinks my sister is an angel. God, they think my sister is done. And I don't know, I just feel like there's no point in doing all of this because your kids are just gonna do what they want to do at the end of the day, and you're just gonna feel bad because, like, you're gonna be like, it's just gonna come out of nowhere, it's gonna be like, ooh, surprise, this was here all along.
It's now when they ask you, don't you have friends? And I'm just looking like, I don't even want to have that conversation. You know, do you not have friends? And I'm like, but then the indoor person that you made me to be, you know, because the funny thing is that you when your friends ask you, can you come out, you don't even ask your parents anymore. You just say no because you know that you're gonna say no. You know,
and then
they now ask you, oh, do you not have friends? I was gonna, and you now ask them, and they will now tell you, can't your friends come to your house? Don't they know where you live? And then when the friends now come down,
these are your friends.
When the friends now come, they will not say, these are your friends. They will not, when the friends now go, they will not say that your friend was not a good friend. I'm not like, okay, fine, you not like the friend. That's fine, that's understandable. Do you understand? But I said, you don't let me go out. You don't let me do what I want to. You don't let me socialize. And then you wonder why I am very, very, as in, you know, panicked every time I go out. You know, you wonder why I'm always calling you for the most basic information when you do not even allow me to handle my own information. You know, mm-hmm. as in, you baby me, then you adult me when I, what's called, in the most impromptu way. Do you understand? So it's like a
how
lot
do you
of things.
Expect me to, like, how do you expect me to hold a conversation? How do you expect me to communicate? How do you expect me to manage relationships when, like, this
when
is all
I can't
new
even manage
to
my
me.
Own.
I never, like, Broski, like, I'm turning 22 very soon. I have never gone to a concert. Like, bro, it's so
serious.
I don't want to. I'm so
dead
ass.
I've
never,
like, been to
I've never stepped out of my house after 7 p.m. Like, till now, except like I'm going for a church thing.
It's not even I've never gone to a concert. I've lost interest in even going to one.
Exactly. I don't even want to go anymore. I don't, like, when my friends tell me, oh, let's hang out, I'll be like, oh, no, no, let's go Space the Big, let's go see Sensation, let's do this, let's do that. Like, I've made so many plans that have never left the group chat, that have never left the chat. Like, oh, yeah, let's do a vacation in Europe sometime.
I'm the first one to say that my flight has been cancelled.
I went to school in Dubai, like, during the COVID time. So, like, my classes switched to online. So, I didn't need to go to campus. But I tell you, I did not see the sun for months. Like, even when I wanted to take out the trash, I'd go, like, midnight, like, or I want to get something to eat. I'll just order in, like, groceries, whatever. Like, I did not, like, my skin was so pale. And I'm like, how do I get from this, because I definitely want to be different, but at this point it's like, is it not too late? Because, like, I feel like if I start, I'm probably gonna overdo it. I'm probably gonna, because I'm too old to have a rebellious feeling. I feel like I'm too old to,
you then know, you, like, as in, at that point you're now confused about, you know, as in proportion and how much to manage and how much you can take as a person. And because of that overwhelming feeling, you just don't want to do it, just in case you don't overdo it. You get what I mean? So you just leave it.
Kemp,
I think that's something that we'll talk about in the next series.
Yeah, you know what I can say about that quickly? But at the same time, that, you know, if you have a good friend, that will help you. You're not going to, you know, over exaggerate or do stuff like that. If you have good friends, until you didn't have that, and stuff like that. I'll be on a jade. Like I said to you, think up in this December. What? I'm taking you out. What's the point staying home, bro? I went for the rebellious stage. I've done all that. I've done all the, they tell me not to go out. I still went out. I asked I was 16. No, my dad, my mom and parents came in at 3 years after I was there, innit? I came to the UK by myself. So they came in at 4 years after, innit? As a person that's been living by themselves, I'm going out already. I'm 20 now. They're telling me, they came now, they're telling me, I'm asking them, I'm telling them I'm going out tonight. My mom and dad go, you're not going nowhere. I said, what do you mean I'm not going nowhere? All this time, you was not leaving here. Why not going out, coming back home safely? Bro, I was locked out outside the house the day after. I didn't care. I still enjoyed my night. I'll be honest. Bro, in this life, you only live once. And I feel like that's one thing that African parents understand. They just feel like, oh, cool. I feel like they get it, but to them, it's just like, study.
Well, they talk about security. I'm like, bro, like, in regardless of security, a child has to
it grow. Only takes one bullet.
Exactly. Like, I could literally sleep and wake up and it's the same thing. I go outside. It's like, I don't know, man.
Let me talk a little bit about my own when it came to, like, what over strictness caused me to be. Uh-huh. It's similar to income, but I became a politician.
The arguer of the argument, man.
It's not, it wasn't even argument for me. It was that I was a snake.
No, no.
My brother, like, I had to learn, because for me, it took a lot of, I won't say manipulation. I would say manipulation, a lot of questioning, a lot of slight gaslighting to get my parents to understand. Now we're healthy, we're doing healthy communications, but that messed up a lot of things in my life. My friends could not have an argument with me without feeling depressed.
Damn.
There was a time we're running for one random position. You know when I told you that comparison made me competitive?
Yeah.
It over exaggerated itself, like you said. It now became to a point where if it was competitive, I would do whatever it took to win. I remember it was, you had to vote for something. I didn't need to bribe. I was not going to use money. In my head, I was like, money is useless. Everyone has money at one point. Even though, like, forget it. In a school, this is not a real election. But I was thinking that I had to win. So every single time, it was like, there would be these posts, and then you have these flyers, do this, do that. That was in my, like, before I came to secondary school. So what I did was that I'd get some people to destroy that, burn the paper.
Nigerian politician.
And it was so bad. My friends hated it. Because then there was also the whole thing about when it came to, oh, this guy has the finest babe.
If you see looking for you, go and sign up.
No. It's like for me, yeah, when I looked at that thing, it was when this particular girl found me and she changed me and she was like, and I had an encounter with Christ. I was like, wow, I really was a horrible person.
Honestly, man, it is the time where, like, as in obviously what happened that made me actually stop, you know, the lying thing. It was not about my mommy telling me, it was not about whatever happening. It was when, you know, there was someone, one of my friends, you know, and I saw how it was not even my own lie, it was somebody else's lie, and I saw how that lie almost, like I said, it almost took the whole life that was in her life. And I can't even lie, yeah, I said never again, my guy, never again. I just packed it up. After that, I packed it up, you know. So when my mom was always doing verification, she wants to know if I'm actually telling the truth, you know, I was like, okay, no problem, you want to know, you know. So now, because of how consistent with the truth I became, you know, like I said, she never verified me for the truth, do you understand? And me personally, as I stand now, because that was a long time ago. I stopped when I was like 13. Do you understand? So that was a long time ago. I'm 21 now. You know, and sorry, burps. Anyway. But like as I said, it took time, but you know, I stopped. And then when I stopped, I was like, I can't do this again. And now as we are adults, I can't see lies are very unnecessary. Lies are just unnecessary, you know, as we are adults now. For me, in my own case, lies are very unnecessary, because nobody's going to beat you. You're a healthy, functioning adult. Well, not healthy, trying to be healthy, should I say, but you are a functioning adult. Nobody's going to blame you, nobody's going to shout at you. Just tell the truth. I'm sure you guys have heard the, you know, episode with Mickey, The Necessity of Lies.
Just tell the truth. Well, you guys, it has been a very wonderful session. We'll be back shortly for part 3. Stay tuned, don't miss it. You know, invite your parents, like, invite your friends, let them all listen. Everyone come talk to Uncle Jaddy, share your problems, share your worries. And Ken will do all that in the outro. But it has been such a pleasure. Again, this is Jade, your host for today. Followed by Kemzy, Precious, I'm sorry, President, aka Gabriel, aka Gangster, aka Not Active G28. Yeah. Hello, my favorite cousin.
Her?
And the anime man himself, Mr. Tebere, the politician. So yeah, guys, it has been wonderful being here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned for part 3. Goodbye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, you heard it from the host from today. And just to say my own regards to everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, everybody, for part. Thank you guys for coming back for part 2. As you guys have heard, there's going to be a part 3. I don't know how many parts this series is going to have, but there's going to be a part 3, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, as we are saying, it is not a condemnation to anyone.
please, you guys should take note. This is not a condemnation to anyone. We are seeking to understand African parents as much as so that they can understand us as well. Do you understand? We need that constant communication. We need that constant feedback. We need that constant reassurance, and we need that constant understanding, you know, so that there is a healthy mindset. There is a healthy open communication system where people are able to, you know, have certain things to say and have certain things done. Do you understand? So with all this said and all this taking place, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And obviously, you know, they're going to be back, so they don't even need to say, you know, a formal goodbye, guys. So, yeah, do you guys want to say an informal goodbye?
Au revoir.
See you, my people.
See you.
It was lovely.
Shall you parents listen to us? So don't
Actually, share to your parents.
Yeah, share to your parents. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for letting us in your ears tonight. There has been Jade, there has been Gangster, there has been Ello, and there has been Tamara. And we are saying good night, good evening, and a wonderful goodbye to you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. As you know, this is Nkem Limokunjo, your host and your director, signing out from the Okunjo radio station. I'm curious to know your favorite part of this poem, your favorite part of this short story, your favorite part of this discussion. Tell me what your favorite part was, why it caught your attention, and what you think you have learned from it. Also, if you have any questions, let me know and I will do my best to answer them. I also would love to know what you think about this, and if it has affected you in any way, tell me. You know, I'd love to know the tea. I love to know the gist. Tell me. anyway, remember, this is a bi-weekly podcast with episodes that air every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. West African time. Please follow me on Instagram as Saphy_234. That is Saphy _234. And Poetry and Podcast, that is Poetry and Podcast, all one word, where I will be posting the poems that I have read. You can also follow me on TikTok at Nkemdlimokonjo. That is NkemDilimOkonjo. Or on Twitter at Nkem09. That is NkemO09. My podcast is also available on Google Podcast, Acast, Audrey, Alexa Flash, AntennaPod, Pcast, Podcast Addict, Spreewell. Spreewell is spelled Sprewell podcast. That's Spreewell podcast. Then there is Momento FM. That is Momento.fm. Good Pods, TuneIn. TuneIn is all one word. That is TUNE. Then IN. That's TuneIn, all one word. Snipped. That is spelled SNIPD. Then Podverse. PodverseSE, Podverse, Podcast Go, Podcast App, Podbean, that is PodBean, Podbean, Moonbeam, yeah, like the moon beam, yeah, Player FM, that is player.fm, Luminary, LUMINARY, then Clever FM, that is clever.fm, Cast Mix,
CASTMIX. Then Deezer, DEZZ. Sorry, DEEZER. Yeah, Deezer. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Castbox, Stitcher, iVox, Breaker, Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and absolutely Patreon. And obviously, where are you listening? Anchor. Please share to your family and friends and tell them to share, and then share wider and wider and wider until you can hear me on everything. Also, give feedback and comment by leaving a voice message through the Anchor app, commenting on Spotify or any other social media platforms. I'm sending lots of hugs, lots of love to those who need it, and lots of joy to those who are expecting it. Yeah. Blessings, love, peace, joy, and absolute favor coming your way. Good evening, good night, peace and love. Thank you for tuning in.